Guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. We're going to start a new series today, and I'm going to tell you why we're doing this series, because I want to... I want to go deep with us. And going deep with us is not that I just want to share some truths with you that maybe will blow your mind. I guess I want to address what each and every one of us struggles with. We don't talk about it. We almost can't talk about it. Because if we do, people will look at us like, what's the matter with you? But I want to talk about the struggle that you and I have. And that's wondering if God's even listening to us. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been there? I mean, because stuff happens in our lives all the time. Do you know what I mean? Stuff happens all the time, and we're just trying to figure it out. And sometimes it just, the pressure gets so big, and it's so real to us, and we get so desperate, we just cry out to him with all of our heart. God, we need you. I need you. I need you to do this. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you. And why is this happening to me? And it's like silence. That's deafening. Do you know what I mean? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You're like crying out to God, and you start questioning yourself, like, well, am I a believer? Is there something wrong here? Is there something wrong with me? We start throwing out questions. Well, do you love me, God? Or has something changed? Did I do something to tick you off? That you're not responding to me anymore? Because the silence isn't comforting at all, is it? Like when there's silence, there is no comfort there. It's like, you know, have you ever got into a spat with your spouse and you got silence, ice? That's not comforting, is it? Did you understand what I'm saying? There is no warmth there. And when we're talking about our relationship with God, that creates issues. What do you mean issues? It creates situations where we might even find ourselves getting angry. Like, why are you not listening to me, Lord? Are you being cruel with me? So for a while, I've been wrestling with this, and I know there's one book of the Bible that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, because he brings questions to God. I thought, man, this would be a good time for us to address this issue. I thought if we could go deeper with God, with ourselves. I thought if we could somehow let God communicate to us through his word about what we hate. Well, that's a pretty harsh word, George. Well, Matt, we hate it, don't we? We hate the periods of silence. We hate not knowing what to do. We hate feeling like we're isolated and alone. And that's what we're going to talk today. We're going to talk about feeling alone. And Psalm 13 brings that out. And Psalm 13 is actually going to begin the discussion that we're going to take over the next few weeks, maybe a couple of months, with questions that we have and wondering, is he listening? Is he listening to you and I? And I thought it was interesting to me because, you know, these are questions that we have, and it's like, there's the Bible. And the Bible raises those same questions. So like what we're going through or have gone through and what we will go through isn't something new. Isn't something weird. It's what all believers go through. It's what we all struggle with. So I want you to notice with me. It'll be up on the screen. Let's look at these eight verses. Excuse me, six verses from Psalm 13. Here, this is what David writes, okay? See if you can relate as I really read this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. We're going to take these six verses, folks, and I'm going to break it up into three sections. I'm going to talk about the inner turmoil. We're going to see that in verses 1-2. I'm going to talk about crying out. It's okay to cry out. And then we're going to end up with the call to faith. What I want you to see from this psalm is, because as I was reading this, I was like, just those first two verses, how long, how long, how, he's four times he says, how long, okay? It's like, I can relate to that. Can you relate to that? I mean, you and I probably have said it in maybe different ways, but we've said similar things. And I think what God wants to do with you and I is to tell you, even though there's silence, he's there. So, but let's talk about the struggle we have. So let's notice, first of all, the inner turmoil. Look with me again, verses 1-2. There's four statements here. How long? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So here's a couple things I want you to see. First of all, there are feelings of abandonment. When you talk about, here we are, we go to him, because we're supposed to go to him, right? We're supposed to go to him with the things that are on our hearts and our minds, with the stuff that's happening in our lives and in our families and in our world. We're supposed to go to him and let him know what's going on. But here's the thing, when there is silence, when there is no response, not even an encouragement, if anything, it seems like things are just getting worse, and you feel like, I'm just communicating out loud. Why am I even doing this? It's because we feel abandoned, right? Nobody likes to feel abandoned, right? And you especially don't like feeling abandoned by God. Because isn't he supposed to be with you always? He said, I'll be with you. Always, right? One who sticks closer than a brother? Well, I sure don't feel that way right now, George. I feel alone. And let's be honest, God didn't create us to be loners. He created us to be communal people, interacting with each other. We need community. And we definitely don't like feeling alone. And when we're talking about dealing with God, it's one thing to have that sense that he's there with you, but when you're in the midst of it, having no sense whatsoever is disheartening. So that there are feelings of abandonment. You know what I'm talking about. So when David, I mean, how long will you forget me? Man, that's real, isn't it? And he uses the word forever. Because it sure seems like forever, doesn't it? How long will you forget me forever? Feelings of abandonment. Here's the second thing I want you to see about the turmoil. You're experiencing inner turmoil as you try to understand your challenge. Because here's the point. Even though there's silence, you still got the difficulty. You go to him because you're saying, Lord, I need wisdom. Give me wisdom. Lord, I need you to do something. I need you to, and you even say to him, Lord, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know what to do. And I need you to intervene. And I need you to work in this person's life. I need you to provide finances. I need you to bring healing. I need you to do this. I need. And then in the meantime, you get silenced. You got to try to figure it out on your own. So comes the restless nights, right? The sleepless nights, the anxiety, the fear. Those things consume us, right? The crushed dreams, we can just go on and on. And here's how he says it. How long must I take counsel in my soul? How long do I got to try to figure this out on my own? God, you could easily take care of it. That's what I know about you, is that there's nothing too big for you. You could easily tell me how to do this or figure this out for me. Give me wisdom. How long do I need to counsel in my own soul? Look at what David says here. Not just that. And have sorrow in my heart all the day. We know what that's like. Be so consumed with a problem, you may be with a group of people, but you're not aware of what's going on around you because all you're thinking about is your problem. And they'll say things like, oh, you're just really not, you must be down today. You're really just not there. Are you sure you're okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. But on the inside, you're just a complete mess. And you're like, where are you, God? I'm alone trying to figure this out. Can people relate to the turmoil? Can you understand? Here's the other thing I want you to see here. You face the reality that your struggle may overwhelm you. Look at what he says here. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You actually get to the point where you just think, okay, it's meaningless. It's a dead end. There is no hope. I'm going to be overwhelmed by what I'm facing. Nothing's changing. That's just the inner thing that happens with us. And I think, you know, as I was reading this and I was writing down these points to share with you, I just thought to myself, yeah, George, you have experienced what you wrote down. And you've experienced it not just one time, not just once a year, but you experienced this many times, sometimes many times in a week. Because let's be honest, life's hard, isn't it? And you know, like, we're excited. Well, it's springtime, can't wait to do stuff with the family. Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you, you just get tired of just one problem after another. It's like you got through that one, I'm breathing, and then like there's another one. And then sometimes it's like when it rains, it pours, right? It's like, boom, what? I can't, one more thing happens. And then all we get from the Lord is silence. We're trying to figure it out on our own. It is not a good place to be. And you and I have been there. We will be there again. Great, George. I came here for encouragement. You're telling me I'm going to go through this again. No, I'm just telling you reality, folks. And what David is saying here is something that you and I can relate to because we say it in our own ways all the time. Right? But I want you to notice, when, even though there's silence, even though there's turmoil, even though it just seems like he's going to be overwhelmed by his enemies and the problems, here's what he does, and here's what we need to continue to do. He cries out. He cries out. He's persistent in going to God. I think sometimes, can I be honest with you, we give up too easy. we say, George, you know, I went through this and it didn't happen. You know, and I'm telling you, give up too easy. You just need to keep going to him. And so what do you got to do? You got to cry out. Here's what I want you to see. Look with me, verse 3 and 4. Here's what he says. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Two things I want you to see here. Three things, actually. First of all, you long for God to notice you and respond. Remember, you're going through the feelings of abandonment? What we want is we want God to notice us. Because nobody else is. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because you might have somebody who says, oh, I see what you're going through, and you know, I'm there for you. But they don't really know what's going on in your life. They don't really know the difficulty and the struggles that you're going through. And even though they might say, oh yeah, I'm there for you, they don't really know. And they're not feeling what you're feeling moment by moment, day by day, in the midst of your crisis or difficulty or struggle. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes they even forget, right? So the next time you see him at church, you're like, hey, how's it going? Well, you know, I'm still, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, they'll kind of slough it off that they forgot, but they did forget. So again, you just feel those feelings of abandonment. But you're wanting someone to, what? Notice you. And here's what we long for. We long for God to notice us. And not just notice us, we want him to respond. Because it's not just enough to be noticed. We want him to respond. In fact, that's what David says here. He says what? Consider and answer me. Consider me, Lord. You're helping everybody else out. Can you help me? And you want him to respond. Here's the other thing I want you to see. You seek God's wisdom. Notice the language there says, light up my eyes. Light up my eyes means to be enlightened. It means to have wisdom. And the reality is that you want God to give you wisdom, because ultimately that's what we need in the midst of, well, how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do, Lord? I need you to show me. We want wisdom. And here's the thing, we're told to seek wisdom, right? Listen to what James says. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So you go to God and you keep crying out to him. God, pay attention to me. God, listen to me. Respond to me. Give me wisdom. Light up my eyes. I think the reality of that is sometimes when you see somebody going through darkness in their life, sometimes it's reflected in their look, isn't it? You want God to light up their eyes. You want them to give wisdom. Because here's the thing. Here's what we're doing. Here's the next thing. You need God to do this or you'll be defeated. You need God to do this. Or you'll be defeated, you'll be crushed. David says it this way, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. You need God to show up. Let me just be honest with you, okay? Because we're being real here today, okay? And over the next few weeks, as we bring these questions that we have, especially with the things that we see from Scripture that I was actually shocked by, that God allows people to come and complain to him. And when I say complain, I mean express their frustration to him. Not murmur, but express their frustration to him. The reality is you're like, oh my goodness, Lord. If you don't do something, I'm history. I'm crushed. And you need to go to him and be real with him. But for some of us, can I be honest with you? Let me be honest. I said I was going to be honest with you. We've gotten to a place where we've given up hope. So some of you don't even pray anymore. As soon as that crisis happens in your life, as soon as this difficulty happens and you got to try to figure it out, you talk to everybody else, you get their opinion, and people will give you their opinions, and you try to figure it out, and you just kind of go on your, but when it comes to you and the Lord, you don't really talk to him anymore, because how many other times has he not listened to you? Or it seems he didn't listen to you. How many times were there silence before, and so you just kind of gave up hope? What I want you to do is don't give up hope. You need God to do this or your history. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll be defeated, and you need to express that to him. Now, I think at this point, I'm like, yeah. As I'm reading this psalm, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Boy, David, you've really nailed me. You've really shown the reality of what's going on in my life. But then here's what David does that blows my mind. Look at the last two verses, okay? Let's read these together. Starts off with that three-letter word, but. But. Okay, I've expressed all these other things in the first four verses, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Here's what David does. He gives us a call to faith. See, it's in the midst of when you're feeling abandoned and you're in the midst of the turmoil. It's in the midst of you crying out, God, I need you to show up and do something. Pay attention to me. Do something or I'm history. David comes along in his own life and says, yeah, that's why I need to just go deeper in my faith. Now, how do you do that? Well, one way, George, would be if I saw him do something, then that would be great, and I would have faith. If he would just answer me, I would have faith. No, that's not what he's saying here. Your faith actually needs to be more than just seeing God do great things. You need to have faith in who he is. And here's a couple of things that he points out here that maybe will help us remember and trust him. Okay, here's the first one. We see it from verse 5. You have to trust that God loves you. Isn't that obvious, George? Now, not if you're in the midst of it, it isn't. Because what's the first thing we say? Do you love me, Lord? Why would you say that? Just to throw that out there? Because you don't feel loved right now, right? You don't feel like he cares because he's not listening to you. But look at what David says. David says here, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. So it's like a love that is continual. It's a love that doesn't change, that is consistent. You know, I love when our worship team sings the song, leads us in worship with the goodness of God. That's a great song about thanking him for his goodness in our life. That's where we need to start. We've got to start. Look beyond our problems. The problem is we're kind of like, you know, Lori's family lives near Smicksburg, and so we drive down there quite often, and we'll see the Amish buggies driving by, and the horses have their blinders on. And it's kind of like we've got blinders on and all we see is our problem. And we're like, where are you? Because all I see is this giant mess. And we got to look beyond that with faith to the reality is, yeah, Lord, things may not be going good, but you said you would be there for me. You said you would love me. You love me because Jesus died for me. And I put my faith there. I put my trust there. This is the reality. This is the call to faith. Even in the midst, is he listening? I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to be committed to him because he loves me. Here's the second thing we see from David. You have to give thanks and praise to God. Well, that's kind of hard right now, George, because I don't know that I could thank him for this, or I could thank him for that, or I could even thank him for the silence. Are you kidding me? 1 Thessalonians 5, we're to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of Christ, the will of God for you. Even in the midst of the difficulty. But you don't understand, George, I've been dealing with this for years. I understand. Where's your faith? Because nobody promised you it was going to be okay, right? Can I be honest with you? If some preacher tells you that everything's going to be hunky-dory and wonderful and sweet from here on out, and you just need to have enough faith and it's going to be great, somebody lied to you. They lied. Because if anything, Jesus has been flat-out honest. If you love me, you're going to have problems. So give him thanks that you're not alone, even when you feel that you're alone. In fact, can I be honest with you? Quit thinking about your feelings. Because they could be deceptive. They can cause you to ignore the reality. So many times I talk to people, they go through something and they're just like, he's not there for me and he's not listening to me and he's not doing this and he's not doing that. And I want to say to them, I want to say to them, I want to say to him or her, whoever I'm talking to, did you not see what God just did? Sometimes we need to open our eyes. Are you sure he's not listening? But see, they're so consumed with the issue, whatever it may be. David, I think, realized, even after saying what he said, how long, four times, how long, where, I'm alone, God, what is going on? And even crying out, he comes to the place of realizing, but I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to trust in your steadfast love. I'm going to trust in your goodness. You say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Where do we go with this? Well, okay, let's talk. Where are you at right now? How's your relationship with the Lord? Have you quit praying because you've been disappointed so much that what's the use? Can I encourage you? Keep praying. Well, I'm not seeing him do anything. Maybe you need to take the blinders off. Because sometimes God doesn't just work in spectacular, mind-blowing ways. He can. But I find that a lot of times in our lives, he works in the small things that we just overlook. So maybe you need to just look and see something as simple as this. You got me through another day. My trust is in you, Lord, because you love me, but you got me through another day. And you've given me the promises that are based on you, not on me, not on you, but on the Lord, that I will always be with you. And you know that. Why? Because the moment you became a believer, who entered into your life? The Holy Spirit did. God himself dwells within you. What do you mean he doesn't know what's going on? So here you are, you're struggling, you're hurting. I'm telling you, I'm not belittling what's going on. Because by the way, whatever is going on is real to you. It is big. And I'm not sure how you're doing it. But here's what I want to tell you. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. Oh, that's great for you to say, George, you understand. No, no, I don't understand. Don't listen to me. Listen to what God's word says. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. Cry out to him. Keep calling him. If you need to spend an hour weeping before him just to cry to somebody, do that. But then go back to what? You love me, Lord. And that's what I'm going to put my trust in. You didn't promise me things, but you said you would be with me. You love me. I think that's where we need to go. Now, what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to go to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is an interesting book because in it, the prophet, instead of bringing God's complaints to the people, he brings the complaints of the people to God, and God responds. And when you look at some of the complaints, you're like, man, yeah, I wonder that too. I'm wrestling with that too. It's like, is God reading my newspaper, what's going on in my life today? No, he knows because we all face it. So the question is he listening to you? Is he listening? The answer is yes. Don't ever think that he isn't. He's listening, and he cares. What we need to do is have faith. We need to have faith. Let me pray for you.